Well, the last part of this service, really, we're going to get into the dedication part of the service. All of us have been to the dedication of this building to the Lord, but we're really going to deal with the heart of the dedication this morning. Now, this building is useless unless if it is not used for its purpose. Let me say it again. This building is useless unless it is not used for His purposes, right, for His glory. It's a useless building if we don't use it for His glory. It could be, as someone said, it could have been a bar. I think Raymond said this. It could be a bar. It could be used as a community center. It could be used. Somebody could put a house in here. I mean, all over Europe, that's what's happening to churches. Because the church is dying, and now people, they're coming in and buying those. They're making coffee houses out of what was the house of God. It is what the building is used for that brings it glory. Now, this building is not a moral building, if you understand what I'm saying there. It's not a moral building. A building is amoral, right? It's not moral or immoral. It's what you do with something. It's not a good and godly building just because it is a church building. The building is nothing. There's nothing holy in that, if that makes sense, okay? Because there have been churches that have been immoral things have gone on in there and taking place in there. And so it's not the fact that we call this a church building that all of a sudden this is a holy building. This building, just like a dollar bill, is amoral. And it's all in how it is used that makes it moral or immoral. And we hear people talk about the church. And many, even within the church body, believe that this building is the church. Many would believe, if you surveyed Christians all across America, they'd say, you know, the church. And when they talk about the church, they're talking about a building. They're talking about something, you know, just something that's been built. They believe that it's the building is the church. And that's not true, folks. I think it was Marvin that said that we are the church. And he's getting all in my business. He was stealing my thunder this morning. No, listen. You know what, that happens. You people go, man, I can't believe they stole my thunder. Listen, we're all speaking the same thing. If we're not stepping all over each other, then we're probably not preaching the same truth, right? Raymond all the time is preaching stuff in his small group. And we'll come in here and it's the Gino will say, did y'all compare notes? It's like y'all to preach. Yeah, we did. We prepared these notes right here, you know. And so the Lord uses that. But folks, we're the church. This building, as beautiful as it now is, and we've had a great building. God's used this building. But, I mean, we haven't even talked about the outside. Did y'all notice have you noticed the outside? Raise your hand if you noticed. How many of you didn't notice the outside? A few didn't notice. So when you go out, you got to take a look at the outside. The outside's been spruced up as well. And I think it looks fantastic. I think it looks fantastic. So this building, you know, as beautiful as it now is, as useful as it may be to the work of the Lord, it's just sticks and stones, metal and paint. That's what this is. Sheetrock, nails, I mean, it's just stuff, okay? So over the past few years, you know, we've been blessed to have the need to conduct many, and we've done many, baby dedication services over the last few years. We've got another one planned for, I think, the 29th. So if you've got a baby or child that has not been dedicated to the Lord, you want to dedicate that child, we'll have a child dedication, a baby dedication on the 29th. You can let us know about that and take part in that. That'll be great. We've done a lot of those, okay? And I'll say this. Gina mentioned it this morning coming in. Right now, for the first time in a few years, we don't have anyone that's expecting. So does anyone have an announcement they want to make this morning? I saw a hand go out of there. She said, no, no, no. All right, nobody? Gina? No. Okay, all right. Don't faint. One of the interesting things about those dedication services that we've had is that we're not actually dedicating the children. If you've been in here, you realize that. When we have those services, you'll recall that it's actually a time for the parents to dedicate themselves to the Lord. That's what they're doing. To commit to living godly lives, growing in their faith, staying faithful to the fellowship of the redeemed, committing their children, keeping their children in church, and modeling for them a real faith that will lead their child to Christ. Listen, folks, if we as believers, if we don't model the right things at home, you know what we do? We don't make a path for them to the Lord. We build up a wall to keep them from the Lord. So it's so important that we live our lives in a way that models Christ for them, that they see that, that creates a trail right to the Lord. It makes it easy for our children to come to know the Lord. And so that's what the commitment they're making. Their commitment is a personal commitment. It is their commitment that makes all the difference in the life of their child. It's their commitment, the parents' commitment, as they commit, really committing themselves. And we call it a baby dedication, but it's not. We're not dedicating that child. We're dedicating to that child. We're dedicating to the Lord and living our lives in a way that is for that child. For that child. And it influences. The way we live our lives influences our children. And it makes all the difference in the world in their life, but especially spiritually. Amen? Amen. And as we the body of Christ, also dedicate ourselves to coming alongside those families and helping them keep their commitment and help them lead their children to Christ. That's what we're doing with a baby dedication service. We're committing as the church to come alongside them, to hold them accountable. Mom, Dad, where are you at? You've been out of church for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. What's going on? You need your children in church. You made a commitment to the Lord. You made a commitment to us. And my commitment to the Lord was to hold you accountable. And so I'm holding you accountable. Why ain't you in church? We got to do that. We got to help them. We come alongside by teaching their children, helping disciple them and lead them to Christ. Now, folks, we've got the same goal this morning. The same goal we have this morning that we have in a child dedication, a baby dedication service, is the same goal we have this morning. This building will not save anyone. This building will not preach the gospel. This building will not invite your friends to come to church. This building will not praise and worship and glorify God. This building will not win souls. It will not disciple. It will not baptize. It will not go into the mission field. This building will not encourage and strengthen one another in the faith. This building's not going to give a brother or sister in need of comfort a hug. If these things are to happen, it will be because the body of Christ here in Geneva at First Baptist have dedicated and committed themselves fully to the work of the Lord. So we've talked about dedicating this building, but what we're really talking about is dedicating ourselves to the work of the Lord through this building and in this building and out of this building. Amen? It will be in our dedication and commitment that this building will be consecrated to the work of the Lord. Now we want to go back and we're going to look at Romans 12. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. We're going to kind of run through this because I want you to, and this, some of this comes from a message I preached about a year ago, but it really goes back to dedicating ourselves to Christ, living our lives for Him. And if this building is to be used of the Lord, it's going to require us doing that. It takes us, the body of Christ, the membership of this church. And Romans 12 and 2, if you want to talk about knowing the will of God, when people ask me, you know, how can you know the will of God in your life? Go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Read the verse, pray the verse, memorize the verse, quote the verse, meditate on the verse, chew on the verse, live out the verse, and I promise you, you'll know the will of God in your life because this is the will of God for our life. Here what we find in Romans 12, 1 and 2. In verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul tells us, he says, by the mercies of God. There, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren. He's speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's not talking to the lost world out there. He's talking to believers. He says, I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you, therefore, by the mercies of God. So specifically, Paul is talking about the mercies of God that he's just spent 11 chapters spelling out. First 11 chapters in Romans, he has spelled out the mercies of God. He has gone into great detail sharing with us the mercies of God. God's mercies to the fallen, lost in their sin, human race, through the provision of His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul writes of the mercies of God in chapters 1 through 11. He makes it clear that man is hopelessly lost in his sin and eternally separated from God and can do nothing about it himself. There's nothing. I can go, you know what? I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. But there's nothing that I can do to save myself. There's not a river wide enough for me to row across to get to heaven. There's, you know, a flea has a better chance of jumping to the moon, folks, than we have to getting to heaven on our works, on our goodness, on our righteousness, on anything that we do. We understand this. There was doing that had to be done, but Jesus did all the doing that had to be done. It's been done. D-O-N-E, period. Amen. He did it. Right. There's nothing for us to do but believe. We have to repent. We have to acknowledge our sin, our lostness, our need for salvation. And we repent of our sin. We turn. That's a changing of our mind. I'm going to do it my way. I'll get there. I'm self-reliant. I'm me. I can do it. And when we realize I can't do it, I can't get there, we turn and we turn to Christ. Amen. That's repentance. It's a change of mind from doing it my way, pride, arrogance. And I humble myself and I turn to Him. And Jesus, I can't do it. I'm hopeless. I'm hopeless. I'm a sinner separated from You. Would You save my soul? I believe in You. And we place our faith in Christ. And He saves us. And so the Lord is, the Holy Spirit has revealed to Paul the mercies. He shared with us these first 11 verses, the mercies of God. And let me just read these to you. I don't know that this is exhaustive. It may be exhausting, but it's not exhaustive. He tells how God credits us righteousness apart from works, 3:22. God offers us justification and redemption, 3:24. Jesus' sacrifice provides atonement, 3:25. God takes judgment on Himself, 3:25. God is forbearing and patient with us, 3:25. Our transgressions are forgiven and sins covered, 4:7. Our sins are not counted against us, 4:8. God gives spiritual life to the spiritually dead, 4:17. God makes peace between us and Himself, 5:1. God poured His love into our hearts, 5:5. He has given us the Holy Spirit, 5:5. God demonstrated His love for us while we still were still in open rebellion against Him, 5:8. He saved us from His wrath, 5:9. He reconciled us to Himself, 5:11. He gives us eternal life, 5:21, 6:23, and 8:11. He provides an overflowing and abundant provision of grace, 5:15 and 17. God allowed us to die to sin, 6:2. God gives us new life, 6:4. He allows us to bear fruit, 7:4. He frees us from condemnation, 8:1. He makes us His children, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, 8:17. God shares His glory with us, 8:17. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, 8:26 and 27. God works for our good, 8:28. He conforms us to His image, 8:29. He is for us, 8:31. God doesn't bring charges against us, 8:33. God provides His love from which we can never be separated, amen, 8:35 through 39. God saves all who call on Him, 10:13. He allows those who do not even seek Him to find Him, 10:20. He offers us His kindness, 11:22. And God gives us irrevocable callings and giftings, 11:29. That ought to make us just go, praise God, glory, hallelujah. Man, that should make a Baptist shout. If that doesn't fire you up, the mercies of God, if that don't fire you up, as somebody said, your wood's wet. That ought to fire you up, man. That ought to, as a born-again believer, we hear of the mercies of God. And so at this point, Paul, he breaks out in adoration of the Lord here at the end of chapter 11, verse 33. He said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." So Paul is so blown away by what God has done that he's awestruck, and that overflows into praise and worship and adoration of the Lord. And as we think on the mercies of God, it ought to have the same effect in our life. It ought to overwhelm us. The mercies of God. So what should we do in response to the mercies of God? Well, Paul says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Now, a living sacrifice, it basically means this, a living sacrifice. If it's sacrifice, then it's been given up. It's dead, okay? So we should be a living, dead person. We should be dead to self, living to Christ, alive in Him and alive for Him. That's a living sacrifice. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, dead to flesh, dead to self, dead to my wants, and take up his cross and follow Me." That's what we're to do, folks. If we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? It's not that he saved me so I can just go live my life how I want to with the hopes of going to heaven now. You know, a lot of people want this get out of jail free card. They want fire insurance. Well, I prayed a prayer, so I know I'm going to heaven. I can live like hell now if I want to, and I'm saved. No, sir, it doesn't work that way. If you really are saved, your life will be different because you have been crucified with him. Spiritually, you have killed the flesh, and we come alive in him, and we live for him. Galatians 2:20 captures this thought of a living sacrifice perfectly. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am dead. I have been crucified with him, and I have been risen up with him with new life through the life that he gives me. And it is him living in me. Man, it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. We're to be a living sacrifice. We're to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. I'm going to tell you what all means there. Y'all jumped ahead of me. Now, I was going to say, you know, it means some. It doesn't mean that. That's what we want it to mean. We want it to mean, you know, we'll be holy in some of my conduct. We'll be holy in certain parts. I'm going to silo this part of my life over here, you know, my church life. I'm holy in my church life. But, you know, this over here, this is mine. My weekend party life is mine. My weeknights at home are mine. You know, those are mine, and I, you know, not necessarily holy, you know, but I haven't promised that. This is over here. This is holy when I come to church. That's my holy life. No. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. All your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Folks, that's not a suggestion. That's not a hope that the Lord has for us. That's a command. That we be holy. We're to be a living sacrifice. The only way to be holy is to be a living sacrifice. That is the only way, is if we crucify the flesh and we are alive in Christ. It's the only way that we can be holy, acceptable to God. Acceptable to God. Look, we can only be acceptable to God if we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? When the atonement for sin, for our sin, has been applied to our life by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the only way we are acceptable. Because then what he sees is his Son. We are clothed in his Son then. We the blood of Christ covers us. And when he looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees his Son's righteousness and holiness. The only way is for us to be born again. And so the question this morning is, are you born again? This morning, have you placed your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation? There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to be reconciled with God except through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you're sitting here and you go, well, I believe in God and I go to church and I've gone to church my whole life, but I've never come to that place where I've confessed my sin to God, acknowledging my lostness, my hopelessness without him, and I've called upon the name of the Lord and I've asked him to forgive me of my sin. If you've never done that, folks, I can assure you, you're not saved. If you've not come to that place of understanding you're lost, then you've not come to a place of understanding that you need to be saved and you can be saved. If you've come to that place, you've confessed your sin and you've believed by faith, then the Word of God has promised that thou shalt be saved. You must be born again to be a living sacrifice, to be holy and acceptable to God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And then he says, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. You know, what does that mean? It means, you know, some of your translations will say it's your spiritual worship. And it's what we do spiritually is the thing. It's the way we work this out. But it's our reasonable service. Now, the word reasonable there is the word logikos, which means, guess, any guesses? Logical. So what he says is, do these things, be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is the logical way to serve God. It's the logical thing to do. It is the reasonable thing to do. It's logical. And, you know, Spock would love that. It's logical, Captain. It's logical. It just makes sense. That's what Spock would say. Captain, it just makes sense. It's logical. We have, he gave everything for us. He gave everything for us. And what this reasonable service means, you know, this is the FCW, the Frank Conrad Westbrook version, FCWV. This is the least that we can do. It's the very least that we can do is be a living sacrifice. Live a holy life that is acceptable unto God. That is our reasonable service. God is not asking too much for us to give everything, because He gave everything. It's the logical thing. It's the reasonable thing for us to do, to commit everything to Him, to serve Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, to love Him with our whole heart and our whole life. The truth is that every single believer is called to be 100% committed to Christ. Not 50-50, not 60-40, not 70-30, not 80-20, not 90-10. 100% committed to Christ. And here's the fact. There's probably not one of us in this room that are even close to 100% committed to Christ. But that doesn't mean we stop trying. It doesn't mean we just give up on that. Look, my flesh still battles me every day. Amen? Anybody else understand that? My flesh battles me. But you know what I have to do? I have to get in prayer. I have to walk with the Lord. I have to get in the Word. And I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to get up in the morning. I'm going to put on the armor of God. I'm going to crucify the flesh. I'm going to take up my cross. And I'm going to walk with Him. And I'm going to seek to live my life 100% committed to Christ. And as I see things in my life that aren't where they need to be, I have to give those to the Lord. I have to give those to the Lord and turn away from them. Now, have you ever heard the phrase, two people are involved? You ever heard that? Like, y'all know what I'm talking about. Raise your hand if you got the idea. They're involved. If I said that, you know, those two, they're involved. What am I talking about? There's something going on there, right? There's something going on. So if we got two young people in our church, they're single, and you know, we might say, well, they're involved. You know, there's something going on there. There's an attract. They're involved, right? Well, let me ask you this, because there's a difference between being involved and being committed. Gina and I, when we first met, we were involved. We were beginning to get involved in each other's life. Today, we're not involved. We're committed. Okay. So, are you involved with Christ? Is there just something going on there? Are you just dabbling with your relationship with Christ? Is He working on you? But you're like, I don't know, Lord. Quit being pushy. You're asking a lot. You just want too much too fast. You know, is it that thing? Are you involved with Christ? Or are you committed to Christ? You know, and I've used this illustration before. Some of you have heard this, but if you think about breakfast, man, bacon and eggs make up a great breakfast. Right, Raymond? Amen. 3 eggs, 4 eggs, scramble, maybe throw a little cheese in there, and you got about 4-5, well, half slab of bacon, you know. You got all that going on. Bacon and eggs, man, they're an important part of a great breakfast. But if you think about it, in that breakfast, see, the chicken provides the eggs. That chicken is just involved in breakfast. The pig was committed. That's the difference, folks. Are we involved in our faith, or are we committed in our faith? And Paul's telling us we need to be fully committed. We need to be fully committed to him. Romans 12. So how do I do that? All right, Paul, you've told me I'm supposed to be committed. How do I do that? Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're not to be conformed to this world, and that means don't be pressed into the mold of this sinful world. Don't look like it, talk like it, think like it, or act like it. We shouldn't be that. Don't be conformed. Don't look like the world. Be transformed. And it really that when we read that being transformed, it really could read this way, be being transformed. We're to constantly be being transformed to look like Christ. And it is a command. Again, this is not a suggestion. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't do that. That's a command. But be transformed. That is another command. So how do we do that? You do it by renewing your mind. And you bathe your mind in the Word of God. That's how you renew your mind. You read the Word of God. You listen to it. You study it. You memorize it. You meditate upon it. You quote it. You pray it. As Raymond said earlier, you talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ about the Word of God. You discuss the Scriptures. And as we do that, listen, that renews our mind. If you get trash in, you're going to get trash out. We pour the Word of God in, we bathe our minds, it transforms our mind. It renews our mind and it transforms us. Folks, the reputation of this church, the world sees this as that building there, that's the church. That's First Baptist Geneva. Now, whether they see us as a bunch of hypocrites or they see us as, boy, them folks love the Lord, they're on fire for the Lord. Look, that the reputation of this church will be directly tied to what we, the body of Christ that worships in this building, do with our lives. That's what's going to determine the reputation of this church. Are we dedicated to the Lord? Have you presented your body a living sacrifice? Are you holy and acceptable to God? Are you seeking to grow in your dedication to Him every day? Are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind to become more like Christ every day? So ask yourself, do I only want what He wants in and for and through my life? If what I'm going and living my life is all about what I want, then my dedication is not in the right place. My concern should be, what does God want in my life? What does He want for my life? What does He want through my life? That's when we've come to a place of commitment and dedication to the Lord. And it is in that that this church can do great things. Amen. As God works in us. Now, here's my challenge this morning. I know we're going to run in a little on time. Listen, if we go a little over, we may go a little over today, okay? But we're going to try to get through this. Here's my challenge to you today. Are you committed? Are you fully committed? Are you dedicated? You know what? You may be walking with the Lord and go, you know what? I'm not where I used to be. Maybe today's a great day to rededicate, refocus, recalibrate. You know, sometimes we gotta adjust some things, right? Your car, you gotta adjust the transmission. You gotta adjust the air in the tires. Things get out of line. Your alignment's off. You gotta realign it. Maybe this morning there just needs to be a little realignment. Maybe a refocus of our relationship with the Lord. As we dedicate today, and we talk about dedicating this building, but really we're dedicating ourselves this morning. And here's what I want us to do. And this, I'm not trying to spiritually manipulate anything, but I would love for us to christen this sanctuary and to christen this altar with a room full of bodies up here praying at this altar and praying for yourself of commitment. I am committing, recommitting, recalibrating, refocusing, whatever it is, whatever I need to do this morning in getting my heart right with God and my focus back where it needs to be. I'm giving that back to the Lord. I'm going to come to the altar and pray that way. Maybe this morning I've realized I don't know Christ as my Savior. I need to be saved. Come forward and talk with me. Grab somebody and say, I need to be saved. They'll get you to somebody, or they'll introduce you to Christ, or they'll get you someone who can, okay? So we're praying for ourselves. But we're also praying for this building, that God will use this place, that if the Lord tarries His return 150 years from now, they'll still be celebrating and worshiping God right here on this property, being a lighthouse into the community and around the world. Amen. Amen. And so that wants to be our heart this morning. Pastor Aaron, Jim. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a song. Our first song is How Great Thou Art, and we're just going to play this. Okay? We're not singing this. This is time of prayer through this song. Okay? So when we begin this here in a moment, I'm inviting you to come. Respond to this and come to this altar and pray. Don't worry about the cameras. Number one, we don't live stream this service. Number two, we're not live streaming if they focus in the live stream, it's going to be on Jim. So you have to smile, Jim. Jim's going to smile during the, now he's going to be like, oh. No, don't worry. We'll focus on Aaron. Well, wait. We'll focus on the cross. No. We're going to do something. Don't worry about it. You got to worry about, I don't want to lean at the altar. And now, you know what? You're not going to be leaned over at the altar. You're going to kneel at the altar, but this is a little higher, and so you're not going to be leaned over the way you were in the past. But I'm going to invite you to come and pray. And after that, then we're going to sing a song of celebration and victory together, okay, in celebration. Father, as we go now to this song, as we at this time of response to, Lord, what you're doing, I pray every person in here, there's not a one of us that doesn't need to maybe recalibrate something this morning. There's something that we need to maybe give to you, something we need to, that we've taken back, we've allowed in our life, whatever it is. We need to get something out of our life, or we need to get more of you in our life, Lord. Whatever it is, I pray that right now will be a time that we'll do that. We'll refocus and recommit and rededicate ourselves as we dedicate this building. And Lord, as we have prayer for this building, that God, you'll just use this place in a mighty way. Father, would you move now in this time? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.